Hey, everybody. This is former CSU running back Kyle Bell, and you are listening to my main man, Brady Hole, on The Hole Show. Do not turn your dial. Keep it right here.
Minutes after the hour. Welcome back into The Hole Show, powered by PDC Energy. Here in a moment, we're going to have my great friend from No Limit Collectibles, Ken Yamada. Love this guy. It's a sports collectible store here in Greeley. Right by Cables there, sports cards, memorabilia, you name it. Got big trade nights that they're doing now kind of on a regular basis, so we're going to talk about that with Ken in just a moment. But now joining me on our First Advantage Hotline, the one and only Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Coloradoan. Kevin, my man, no surprise. We knew CSU was getting in. That was done. How do you feel about the seed? Number 6 going up against number 11 Michigan. Should they have been lower than that, higher than that? Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think 6 is right what their resume was. I mean, doing a lot of number crunching and, you know, look at comparables and everything. 6 is where I thought. Really, they should be what they had earned. I think 5 probably would have been a little too good a seed. You know, I think if they had won the Mountain West or even made the title game, they would have been in the mix for a 5. But, you know, losing the semis, you know, that took away 2 potential big, you know, resume wins. So I think 6 was perfect. I thought 6 is what the resume said. I thought 7 was probably where they're going to end. But frankly, I think they got right, and it's kind of the only one, the Mountain West, that I think they got right. I think Boise State at 8 is too low. San Diego State at 8, I can understand that, you know, their resume has some holes in it, but Boise definitely the short end of the stick there. But for CSU, I think a good, an appropriate seed.
Yeah, Michigan's interesting, too. I mean, and again, they won't be playing too far away from Ann Arbor, so Michigan's probably going to bring some fans with them there to see Juwan and company. But talk to us a little bit about this matchup so far. I love this because it provides something different. I mean, you and I have spent so much time talking about the Graham EKs of the world, the Keyjabs of the world, and you know, the Mountain West going back and forth every single week. Brand new matchup for Colorado State.
Yeah, and that's one of, you know, there are obviously a lot of fun things about the tournament, but that's one of the ones that's just really cool. You get a lot of these matchups that you would never get in the regular season. So I think that's a lot of fun. And it is a little bit of a home game for Michigan. I'm interested to see how many fans they bring. I don't think this is a Michigan team that's exactly got their fans, you know, completely enraptured and excitement, because they've had a pretty up and down season. They've obviously had huge drama with Juwan Howard being suspended basically at the end of the regular season. But they're obviously a team that on their night can be very good. They're just very erratic. Michigan was looked for a long time like they're probably going to be in one of those first 4 games. So I think they're probably happy to be in, you know, kind of a full bracket to start rather than having to play into it. So it's a dangerous team, but you're already seeing it nationally. You know, Michigan is a very trendy pick to upset it. And, you know, obviously Michigan's good enough that they can beat CSU, but I think it's also some of your lazy national analysis of, oh, Big Ten team, big name, this little school from the Mountain West that we haven't seen in a decade in the NCAA tournament. So obviously Michigan's going to win that. So you're seeing some of that already, but I think it's a really good matchup. All the metrics, I love diving into, you know, the KenPoms and some of these advanced numbers. They're very, very similar teams. So I think it's a good matchup and should be a good game.
Yeah, well, looking at the, you know, obviously they have some studs. You know, Hunter Dickinson is averaging, you know, I don't know, I think close to 20 points per game. So he's going to provide, I don't know, what would you say, an interesting matchup? How does he compare to players that CSU have seen before, that guys that David Roddy has seen before?
Yeah, Dickinson's definitely a problem. You know, a 7-1 guy, a really good touch. He can score it. As you said, with the numbers, obviously he can score it. And CSU, you know, Graham EK is a really good big. He doesn't have that size. You know, he's probably more like a 6'9". Kind of the only, you know, 7-1 type center that CSU faces in the Mountain West is Nathan Mensah, and he doesn't score. He's a defensive center. So it'll be a different matchup. I'll be interested. You know, DeSean Thomas, I expect, will start, and he'll start on him. But that feels to me like a matchup where we're going to see a lot of James Moores. I don't think we'll really see Roddy on Dickinson other than some specific moments. But for the most part, I think it'll be those two bigs. But, yeah, that's definitely a problematic or tough matchup. But I'm guessing Michigan's saying the same thing about number 21 right now for CSU as well. So that's what you get in the tournament, all these funky, fun matchups where yeah, you can – you know, if you're a fan, you can wrap yourself in knots saying, oh, how do we stop this guy? How do we stop this guy? How do we stop this guy? But it goes the other way, too. CSU has a few guys that, you know, aren't half bad themselves. So it's a fun one. I really like this matchup, to be honest.
I do, too. And like you said, when I look at the spread, I just go, okay, well, there's the bias there. We're going to go. Last time I checked, Kevin, it was Rams 2.5-point dogs. So is that, I'm guessing that's still where it sits. What do you make of that?
Yeah, that's last I saw. Again, I'm not too surprised. Just, you know, brand name. I haven't gone through a lot of the predictions, but I'm doing that this afternoon. Yeah, I saw Jay Billis said Michigan will win. I believe Sports Illustrated has Michigan winning in their kind of predictions. So it's going to be a trendy thing. I think even, you know, fan brackets around the country, there will be a lot of Michigan. Because, again, if you don't follow the Mountain West, you pull up your bracket, you see Michigan, you see Colorado State, you see Michigan's the 11, you're saying, oh, Big Ten team, they're winning that one. So it's going to be a trendy thing. CSU is going to be, you know, every year there's a couple of those, you know, 5-12s and 6-11s where everyone in the country thinks the low seed or, you know, the worst seed is going to win. And that's going to be the case this year just because of the name recognition.
Yeah, it's exciting times for Colorado State, for sure. Bummer of a way to end the Mountain West tournament, but at least they got past Utah State. And, you know, that San Diego State, they kind of, you know, they tried to survive. They kept fighting back, but ultimately it just seemed like it was San Diego State's night in that game. I don't know what you made of that. Ultimately, it didn't seem to affect them one way or the other as far as the seeding went.
Yeah, what I make of it is San Diego State is their worst matchup. Yeah, I kind of wrote about at the game. Everything, you know, the things CSU struggles with are San Diego State's strengths. So they're just, you know, they're kind of the yin and the yang of each other. And San Diego State exposed them. And San Diego State, you know, I was there for the final the next day. You know, some of those three-pointers that San Diego State was hitting against CSU, they were missing, you know, Adam Seiko was missing wide-open threes against Boise, whereas he hit them against CSU. So it's one of the things that happens, you know, fans, you know, I don't think just CSU fans, I think it's kind of a fan thing, have a fatalistic attitude sometimes. And, you know, after the game, I had, you know, some people kind of standing on the edge of the bridge there. And it's like, hey, it's okay. San Diego State is literally the second best defensive team in the entire country. CSU literally cannot face another team that's that good defensively unless they make like the Elite Eight. So, just because you lose to a team like that doesn't mean the season is unraveling. They're just a matchup problem for CSU, and it's frustrating. You know, CSU's goal was to win one of the Mountain West, and they did not do that. So yeah, it's frustrating that that didn't happen, but I don't think it puts a big blemish on the season. You know, if CSU goes 2-0 this weekend, I don't think anyone's going to be lamenting the San Diego State loss.
I think as soon as the game was over, about 5-10 minutes, for me anyway, I'm like, yeah. Yeah, they made it to the big dance. That's what it's all about. Get a shot there. Kevin Lytle joining us from the Fort Collins, Colorado. Okay, Nico Medved, another contract extension, which obviously means he's never leaving ever, Kevin. That's exactly what that contract extension means. Talk to us a little bit about the details.
Yeah, this has been an interesting couple weeks because, I mean, Brady, we've been talking about this since October, that we knew his name was going to be jumping. We knew this team was good. And we obviously he's a program builder, so you knew that his name would be out there. In the last 2 weeks, Georgia opened up. His name was one of the top candidates right away. Then Missouri opened up, and that was one that really caught the attention because, you know, the Midwest there is kind of his hotbed. LSU opened up. He was never going to go there because they're going to be sanctioned and they're a disaster. But his name was kind of everywhere. And then the last week I started hearing that there were some legitimate, serious, contract talks happening with CSU, which made sense. CSU should be looking at. And then Joe Parker, you know, pretty publicly on the Ram Nation podcast said, yeah, you know, we need to raise his salary because he's kind of middle tier of the Mountain West when obviously he's not a middle tier coach. And then they did it. Got a heads up right before the selection show that he had just met with the team and they had told him. So yeah, extend through 2029, it gives a big salary bump to him. He's now a $1 million coach. I think it puts him second, maybe third in the Mountain West. Steve Alford is running away from everyone because he has an absolutely insane contract that Nevada is going to regret. Brian Dutcher has a really good one, which obviously is good value. And then Nico is right there as well. He also, again, raised his assistant salary pool. That's what he did last year. He didn't want more money himself. He wanted more for his assistant, so he got them a bump again. And that's huge. That's how you have guys like Ali Faruk-Munesh and Brian Cooley and even down the rung, Aaron Katsuma, who is the guy that kind of helped schedule it as well as the Rams did to get the six seed. So all in all, great news. Yeah, like you kind of suggest, doesn't mean he's here forever, but it's a big step toward that, potentially being a thing that could happen.
Kevin Lytle joining us from the Fort Collins, Colorado. What's the buyout look like?
Yeah, so, it makes us do math, which, we don't like that because math is no fun. So it's not a straight number. It's 33% of his remaining salary through the duration of the contract. So you can do that math. If he has $10 million left, well, I guess it wouldn't be 10. They don't have enough years. But if there are, $6 million left, it's 33% of that at that time. So it's a pretty sizable one because, that contract runs for long enough. So that's a good chunk of change. And certainly if he's still here, in 5 years, they'll be, rolling that contract forward to increase that. So it's a pretty sizable bit. It increased the percentage. The previous one was 25%. So it's a pretty solid one. And then CSU put in a big commitment as well. Theirs is they owe him 100% of his money if they were to fire him. So, obviously you don't see this going sideways, but kind of both sides put their hand in and made a pretty strong commitment to each other.
It's interesting. I mean, it was. I mean, does this lead you to believe, last one for you, Kevin, does this lead you to believe that Nico really is in this thing for the long, long haul?
Yeah, I mean, again, I don't know if this means he's going to be Mark Few and is going to coach at CSU for 30 years, but is he going to do 10 years? I would say yes. It's
looking
like that now. He's in year four. I'd say you probably feel pretty comfortable for at least 2 to 3 more years. And you never know if let's say John Shire goes sideways at Duke and Duke comes in and says, yeah, we're paying your buyout. Come on down. Then of course he's saying yes, but this is a pretty big commitment. So yeah, I don't think it guarantees he's here forever, but next couple of years, I think you feel pretty good.
Wow. I'll take it, man. I'll take it. I thought maybe next year would be it, but, let's roll with it. Good for Joe Parker. Good for CSU to get this thing done. Kevin, my man, I don't know if we'll be able to catch up with you. We don't have, and you're busy, as you know, Thursday. We don't have shows Thursday or Friday because we're carrying March Madness throughout. Give me a prediction. CSU moving past the first round?
This is a tough one. The one thing that we won't know is how this team reacts. It's obviously a very good team, but no one on this roster has played in the Big Dance, and you just don't know how they'll react. But generally, I trust this team. I think they win a close game Thursday.
I like it, man. How about Wyoming? Do they get? They got tomorrow night in the play-in game.
I'll admit I haven't seen much of Indiana. I know they're obviously not great. I think Wyoming can win that. I don't like the quick turn for them. They need all the rest they can get, but I think Wyoming can win that, and I think San Diego State beats Creighton, and Boise, I think, has quite a task on their hands against Memphis.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think Boise's going to have a tough time. Okay, assuming Wyoming gets past tomorrow night, what about that? They'd be going up against St. Mary's, right? Any shot there?
Yeah, actually, I don't think that's a terrible matchup. That's a pace they like to play at. Mm. Gosh, that game might be 33-31 if it happens. So St. Mary's really good, but that's, I think, a decent matchup for Wyoming.
I kind of think so, too. And again, I know Hunter Maldonado, we talk about him a lot. Grammy K, I don't think, has been great the last half a dozen games. And I think if he can be great, this team gets back to really tough to beat. So I'm kind of with you. I think there would be success for these kind of somewhat local teams coming up throughout the week.
Yeah. They just need EK locked in. He's a guy that can get frustrated at times, but when he is dialed in, he can be really good. So, yeah, I mean, obviously it's good for the Mountain West. I hope there are some wins. I think of those four teams, hopefully we get at least two wins in the first their first games.
Yeah, need a good Mountain West showing. Get some of that respect that we certainly know that that conference deserves. Kevin, my man, I know you're heading out. We're looking forward to your coverage as always. Seriously, nobody better when it comes to Colorado State than Kevin Lytle and the Fort Collins, Colorado. Kevin, my man, appreciate you as always.
Thanks, Brady. Great chatting.
All right, man. 12:38 the time. We're going to get my friend Ken Yamada now on the I got to see if he does he have any David Roddy cards? Do they have college basketball cards? They do that, cuz I want to get my hands on a David Roddy card. Let's make it happen. 38 minutes after the hour. Let's jump out of here, Jades, and get the latest on the local sports flash.